Hi, I'm Chris Cotnor, executive producer of the DSR Network. We've been incredibly busy here over the past month. With the launch of TNR's Daily Blast, we now produce 10 shows covering foreign policy, national security, domestic politics, cyber and tech, legal, and much more. We've also just launched our redesigned website at thedsrnetwork.com. With all this content, there has never been a better time to become a member. Members receive an ad-free listening experience, bonus content for nearly all of our shows, early access to episodes, enhanced show notes, and access to our exclusive DSR Slack community. Membership is just $7 per month or $70 per year. To become a member, please visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy. Thank you very much for your support.
Welcome to The Secret Life of Cookies, where we try to solve the world's problems through the miracle of carbohydrates, one recipe at a time, with host Marissa Rothkopf and her dog, Bosco.
My guest today on the podcast is State Attorney for Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg. Although his delightful pups, Getty and Blue, can't be with us, we cover so much legal ground. It's like, I don't know, a masterclass in the Trump criminal cases that are going on before us. And if you're anything like me, you may be having a little bit of difficulty kind of keeping them all in some sort of perspective and understanding and really trying to get to the truth about what is actually going on. Part of it because there is so much legal news constantly happening around this man who is also running for president of the United States. It boggles the mind. Anyway, I do hope this episode leaves you with as much clarity, maybe even a small ray of hope about the power of justice in all the Trump criminal legal cases going on right now. Before we get to the show, if you would please, I know this, everybody asks you this, and I ask you this from the bottom of my heart, if you can go to the Apple Store and leave a click like or even write a review, that would be a great help. Every podcast needs it. And your simple act of clicking like helps to boost it higher and higher and let more and more people get to know about the Secret Life of Cookies podcast. And I would appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. And also all the recipes for the podcast, although this podcast doesn't have any recipes in it today, I made a wicked orange cardamom cake with olive oil and yogurt that you can find on my Substack. And I'll be also making what I like to think of as a near perfect chocolate chip cookie, if one such thing can be imagined, that can be also found on my Substack this week. So if you can go there, marissarothkopf.substack.com, and you can subscribe for free or with a $5 a month subscription. And please don't forget to join the Deep State Radio as a member for very special perks. Either way, I am very grateful for your support. On with the show. Welcome to State Attorney for Palm Beach County, Dave Ehrenberg, who is my guest today on a fine day for me, March 25th. It is my birthday. It is Rachel Vindman's birthday. It is Gloria Steinem's birthday. It is Elton John's birthday.
I can't believe you have me on your birthday. I'm honored, Marissa. Happy birthday, many more. Eat some cookies.
There is cake in my future. And it's not just a special day for me. It's been a crazy day in the news for legal stuff, which is what makes me extra happy that you're here. I want to talk a little bit about what happened in New York today with Donald Trump. There were two different things going on. And then I actually want to look to the future because my head is already spinning. And I want to say to you, I asked my Substack readers, I told them I was talking to you, and I asked them what was on their mind. And this, I think, sums it all up. And she said, "I'm feeling so overwhelmed with all of these court cases. Anything Mr. Ehrenberg discusses would help me understand more and maybe even bake better. So let's see. What can you do for us?
Well, I want everyone to be able to bake better. And ideally for me, I'd love to have something with like low sugar, like somewhat healthy to make myself feel better as I eat the entire pie or cake or, oh, I love it. So let's see if I can help. So there are four criminal cases hovering over Donald Trump. Four. Now I'm a prosecutor. There are civil cases. That's, you know, I could talk about those too, but my bread and butter are criminal cases. So let's focus on that, because the other case is the New York fraud case. That's a civil case, civil fraud. There's the E. Jean Carroll case. That's a civil case. Those are not criminal cases. Those involve money judgments against Trump. He's going to have to deal with bonds and as he appeals them. But what presents an existential threat to Donald Trump's future freedom are the criminal cases hovering over his head. And there are four of them. Let's rank them from best to least best. I wouldn't say anything.
Okay.
Let's say least best. Number one, the strongest from a prosecutor's standpoint, the one that's easiest to prove, is the Mar-a-Lago documents case. Prosecutors have him dead to rights. He doesn't have a defense. That one is eventually perhaps going to trial, but the judge who was assigned to that case randomly is Judge Aileen Cannon, who's a Trump-appointed judge who has made a series of controversial rulings that have benefited Donald Trump, and she's really new, relatively new to the bench, and so this is a complex matter involving a federal law called SEPA that governs a lot of this. But in its heart, it's complex because it has a law in place you got to follow. But in its heart, it's an easy case to understand. He had classified documents. He didn't turn them back after he was asked to. So he's being charged with willful retention of documents under the Espionage Act and obstruction. So that one's bad for him. But the judge has been slow walking the case. And there's no chance that case will go to trial before the election. And that is the strongest case against him. And if he does become president again, he's going to call his attorney general into his office and order him to drop, or her to drop, this case and all the cases against him. So whether or not he meets accountability in this matter depends on whether he gets elected president or not. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I now think the D.C. case, the election interference case, is number two. I originally had that as number three, because I thought the case in Georgia was number two, but that's become a mess. So let's go to number two case. And that is Jack Smith, who has four counts. That's it, against Donald Trump. He's built this federal case for speed. He decided to go what he could prove, like obstruction of an official proceeding and a conspiracy to defraud the United States and this obscure statute from the Ku Klux Klan era called deprivation of rights. And then there's a conspiracy to obstruction official proceeding. So that's it. It's not insurrection. It's not seditious conspiracy. It's just what Jack Smith can prove. It's the kind of stuff that he has charged, or other federal prosecutors have charged, hundreds of January 6th defendants: obstruction of an official proceeding and conspiracy to defraud the United States. Really strong, I think. Although Trump never entered into the Capitol that day, but neither did Enrique Tarrio, who was convicted of seditious conspiracy, a lot harder to prove. So I think they got a good case there. And Jack Smith is not messing around. Neither is Judge Chutkan, the judge in that case. She wants it to go now. Problem is, the Supreme Court has put it on ice, pending Donald Trump's appeal on absolute immunity. So that one's on hold. Will that get to trial before the election? Probably not, but not impossible. Depends what the Supreme Court does. They won't rule until the end of June. So running out of time. The third case is the Atlanta case. That's the one with Fonnie Willis, RICO, very powerful case. You've got Trump on tape saying, find me 11,780 votes. I actually think it's a stronger case for prosecutors in the federal case, but because it's now tied up with potential disqualification of Fonnie Willis, which is on appeal, and delays for stuff that were self-inflicted wounds. Fonnie Willis didn't have to get into the situation that, who knows if this will ever be tried? Who knows if the appellate court's going to allow her to stay on the case? I think they probably do, but you have all these delays. So I'm going to demote that case to number three for now. And then fourth and finally is the hush money case in New York. Donald Trump allegedly paid hush money to silence a porn star he was having an affair with while his wife was pregnant. And he tried to pay her off before the election. He did it through his lawyer, Michael Cohen. They recorded it as legal fees in their books, which is a violation of New York law. When you falsify business documents, that's a misdemeanor. They're not going to go after him for a misdemeanor. So what makes it a felony? The prosecution doesn't have to tell us yet, but what he's intimating, the prosecutor there, the DA in New York, is saying that it's election interference. It's an election matter where you have to report your in-kind contributions and your expenditures. And this whole thing was a campaign expenditure. And so since he didn't report that, that's election interference, a violation of federal campaign finance laws, maybe state laws. And so that's the felony. The weakness of this case is that can you piggyback upon federal campaign finance laws when you're dealing with a state prosecution? I think so, but you know that could be on appeal. I do think from a prosecutor standpoint, as far as convicting him for it, he's got a good jury in Manhattan, blue area. He's got Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer, who knows where all the bodies are buried, to be the key witness. And he's got paper, or a paper trail, which shows, did he record it? No, there it is. That's a crime in New York. So that's going. That's the one case that is for sure to go. That is set for April 15th. There will be a verdict in that case well before the election, well before the Republican National Convention. So there you go.
I want to make a joke that I didn't even know that Donald Trump knew April 15th existed on the calendar because that's tax day. But
that's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I actually, you know what? I like that so much. Marissa, I may use that. I'm going on MSNBC tonight. Let's maybe I'll borrow that.
Listen out. take it. It's yours. As my editorial director, Rick Grohl, if you're out there, used to say, take it. It's yours. Please use it. So we have Juan Marchand, who is Judge Marchand, who seems to really have been out there doing just like, I'm not taking no prisoners today, which really pleased me. When you talk to me about taking a money meant for the election and using it to pay off a porn star, I mean, who hasn't really? But it brings up another question for me, which is, and I'm sure it's been answered, and maybe it's just me being thick, which I'm not supposed to apologize for, but you know, whatever. It's my birthday. I can do what I want. Why is it okay for people to pay to support Donald Trump's election bid, average folks, and have that money pay off his legal costs?
Well, it's only a crime if you defraud them. You tell them one thing and divert it elsewhere. The fine print, sometimes it's even bigger print than that, is this helps Donald Trump's campaign, and that could be going to legal matters. I mean, they make it, they put it into a pack. There is enough fine print that I don't believe he's committed a crime for diverting a lot of the money to his legal costs. After all, remember during the Stop the Steal stuff, he said, help me with my legal effort to overturn the election. And then he diverted it to other uses because according to the fine print, when you check the box, it says we can use it pretty much for any reason. Where you get in trouble is like Steve Bannon, when he says, send me the money to build the wall. And then the money goes into his pocket. That is where you get charged with a crime. But our campaign finance laws are so porous that it's really hard to convict someone of something like this. But you know who they did convict? Michael Cohen. Trump's lawyer.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. So but the feds never charged Donald Trump for it, which is according to the legal theory of it's good for thee, but not for me. Right. So we are in a situation where Donald Trump is being held accountable for the same thing that Michael Cohen was sent to prison for, but Trump is being held accountable for a different crime, a much lower crime. But in the end, Trump, because of Michael Cohen, could end up behind bars. It is considered the least strong of the four cases against Trump, but it is the only one that is guaranteed to go before the election.
So we get what we get and we don't get upset.
You rhyme, and that's what makes it so powerful. You get what you get, don't be upset.
$174 million today. The amount was lowered for him. I want to know if that could happen for me. Like if I were charged, if I had to like show up with a huge bond and would they might maybe lower it for me? Is that something special that happened?
If you went to an appellate court and then you said, I can't afford it. I need this bond lowered and I need more time to come up with it. And at the same time, you went on your social media and said, I got the money. I'm rolling in it. I'm got $500 million like that, you know, you would be potentially brought in, your lawyers, to see who's lying to the court, and someone could be held in contempt, and you would not be given an extension and a lowered amount, but Donald Trump was. And
yeah, I was just going to raise my hand and say, but everything you just said just happened this weekend with Donald Trump. And we were all going, he just said he had $500 million, because that's the way we think, because I'm a grown up and we talk like that. And he does have that money. Apparently, that's what he bragged about. And yet he still got a lesser bond. Is it explainable or no?
I can't explain it. I can't, because the judges didn't explain it. The appellate court didn't issue any explanation. They just did it. So when Donald Trump supporters say that there's a two-tiered system of justice, that Donald Trump is being treated differently than everyone else, they may have a point, but not for the reasons they're saying.
I think on that point, I mean, we're going to keep this a very short one because I know you have things to go off and do, but that is the perfect little soundbite that I will take with me. Yes, indeed. He is getting a separate sort of justice. Okay. So the one thing you told me that everybody will, who listens to this podcast, is going to leave a little scared and will lose sleep over is, but what if he gets elected and he turns to his attorney general, who, I don't know, Alina Haba. I'm kidding. Oh my God.
What? That's as good a name as any as he'll pick. Right. I mean, he'll be an Alina Haba or, maybe the MyPillow guy who doesn't have a law degree, but you know, maybe he'll get one in the Cayman Islands or something. I don't know.
Trump University probably has some old textbooks lying around.
Right, right. Rudy Giuliani, who knows, you know? But yeah, it'll be someone who will do his bidding.
I feel uncomfortable now. That's just such a sick thought. But anyway, so we're going to all lose sleep over that. What do we do? How do we avoid this terrible scenario?
Well, you know how. I mean, elections are about choices, and depends on which side you're on. And, you know, Trump has a lot of supporters, and they want this. They actually think this is a witch hunt perpetuated by the Biden administration. I can tell you with certainty that when you're a state prosecutor, New York, Atlanta, or here in Palm Beach County, the president doesn't order you around, doesn't tell you what to do. The Attorney General of the United States is definitely not your boss. The governor is not your boss. You are your boss with the advice of the people who elect you, the constituents in your local communities. So to think that Joe Biden is somehow pulling the strings and ordering or telling or encouraging Alvin Bragg to file these charges against Donald Trump is beyond preposterous. Take it from me. Beyond. I don't even think Trump believes it, but it's good fodder for his base, who are fueled by martyrdom and grievance.
I guess on that note, vote. And I will thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you later tonight on MSNBC. And I will look to make you some very nice, very healthy cookies for you. And let me just say thank you very much for being here.
It's great to be with you, Marissa. And let's do it again sometime.
Thank you for joining me on this birthday episode. You can follow Dave Ehrenberg on Threads, if you don't already, of course. And of course, follow me as well at marissarothkoff.substack.com. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon.